last one, eh?
Yep.
All right.
Welcome back to the Dick Van Mike Show.
To the Dick Van Mike Show.
Episode 45.
Episode 45. That's a big number, bro.
We're getting there.
Big number.
We're middle age now.
Yeah, like almost there. It's like ready to go out and buy a hot rod.
Ready to buy the New Balance shoes and a Corvette.
Yeah, basically. Cargo shorts, tuck in your golf shirt.
Hell yeah.
And just, you know, hang with the boys in the parking lot.
Open top golf visor.
Sure. I don't think is that a thing for the old guys, the old vet guys?
I would think so.
Look at you, Captain America.
Hell yeah.
Think you're something?
And the poppy.
Actually, that's a pretty appropriate shirt to be wearing, you know.
American soldier.
Sort of. Like, I mean, it's obviously fiction, but it's still
super soldier.
Still appropriate. Today is November 11th. And I just want to say before we get really going, you know, today's Remembrance Day. Thank you for listening to this episode today. And just remember to, you know, give yourself a moment to just thank all the heroes of the past who have fought, literally gave their lives so you could listen to stupid podcasts, you know.
As well as the present and the future.
Well, the future as well. Haven't gotten there yet. But, you know, that you can live freely with pretty much no real things that are, like, a huge problem for you. Like, you have...
For us, anyway.
You know, yeah, for us, living in the first world, of course. But, like, we have, you know, like, the things we stress about are so trivial, you know, just because of all the things that people have done to sacrifice for us to be able to live comfortably today in our modern society. So just remember, you know, give your moment of silence if you haven't already. And if, you know...
We are going to
wear your poppy if you aren't already.
We are going to be running a minute of silence in this episode as well. That's
yep.
A little bit later on,
yeah.
And there we go.
We actually maybe we just dive right into it. We are doing this episode much earlier because probably at the time you're listening to this, I'll be all the way across the country,
sitting in a car for 4 days.
Well, I by the time this comes out, I should be done with the driving. We should be already in BC. My brother and I were going out drive there together, and just you know, he's going back out there, so I'm going with him for the journey, and I'll be flying back at the end of the week. But
sounds
I'm looking
dope.
Forward to it. So by the time you listen to this, I'll be hopefully I'll be in BC,
in the British Columbias.
Hopefully, you know, as long as everything goes well,
the mountain area of Canada.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be beautiful, man. I'm looking forward to it so much.
If you don't take pictures of Lake Louise, I'm gonna be upset.
Well, isn't that Alberta?
Yeah, you got to drive through it.
I don't think you have to, but we're going to see. My brother and I haven't talked about a route yet. We're kind of like, my brother and I are both like way too like relaxed and chill about this. My parents keep saying like, oh, what are you guys going to do? And we're both just like, I don't know, man.
I don't know yet.
We're gonna
figure it out as we go.
We're going to do whatever. So, I mean, by this time, maybe I've gone on a little mountain hike. Maybe we're on Vancouver Island chilling on the beach in November, you know, mid-November.
Jesus.
But, I don't know.
Yeah, Lake Louise is something I want to see at some point.
Yeah, I do want to see like all that stuff, but I like, you know, I only have a week off, and it is like a 3 or 4 day drive. If you grind it out, we might do it in 5, just to like not push ourselves
not
too much.
Not stress too bad.
Yeah, you know, enjoy some sightseeing. You know, I know there's not a lot in the middle of the country, like probably Saskatchewan.
You're
going to
be driving through flat.
It's going to be like pretty boring, but you know, once we hit Alberta, you'll start to see some things progress a little bit. Apparently, it's like halfway through Alberta before you start really noticing things happening, like elevation and whatnot, but I'm looking forward to it. I haven't really gone. I've never gone west of Ontario.
Neither have I. I've been everywhere east, but never west.
You've been everywhere east. Like, you've been PEI and all that shit,
yeah.
Too? Oh, that's cool.
Well,
yeah,
I lived in New Brunswick for a
year. Right, I kind of forgot about that whole thing.
So we drove through, so we saw a lot of Quebec, and we saw a lot of Nova Scotia and New Brunswick and Newfoundland, Labrador.
Yeah, I totally forgot you did that.
And PEI, stopped for some seafood in PEI. It was amazing.
Yeah, I should do that too.
Absolutely insane.
I should probably take like a good like 2 or 3 weeks off and just do like a whole like east to west coast like thing.
I mean, I'd be down to go back to the east coast if you ever want to do a road trip.
Excuse me. I kind of want to.
I'd have plenty of people that we could meet up with and likely stay with for a night.
I have a buddy who has a house out there that he lived there for a while before he moved back. He still owns the house, but he's just like, he loves it out there. He says, you know, it's a lot more chill.
The East Coast is so relaxed.
People are relaxed.
People
are happier.
So nice. People are so nice.
Much happier. Easygoing. Like, there's
it's nice.
Low stress. I want to check it out. It's definitely on I won't say the bucket list, but I want to do it soon.
It's awesome. It's really, really
nice
out
there.
Within
the next handful of years. Anyways, I came up with an idea to talk about some awesome war stories.
And, before we get into the serious.
What are you talking about?
Before we get into the serious. Forza's been out for 2 days already. If you guys haven't played it yet, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, I mean, I'm by this point, I'm halfway across the country away from my PC.
I've been playing it already. By this point, I've been playing it.
By this point,
I'm in it.
I'll be way behind you guys.
I am in it.
Well, as soon as I get back, I'm going to grind it out. We'll get a tournament going again, probably like a couple, maybe like a week or two after, so everyone has a chance to like establish their, you know, their sense of controls, sense of the map, have some like things unlocked.
I'm sure there's going to be some newer upgrades on the simulation driving and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it a lot.
Yeah, because Horizon 4 was like, what, 2018-ish?
Yeah, it's a few years old. Like, it's impressive how long it's lasted. Actually, I noticed something the other day. I think I told you this to you, and I was completely wrong, that the clutch has no threshold. It's just an on-off. It actually does have a threshold.
It has threshold, yeah.
I realized it the other day when I actually, like, was trying to, like,
you can set it to a certain grab point, too.
Yeah, so I definitely got used to that. I didn't even realize that was a thing. I thought it was just, like, the controller where it's, like, you can use, like, the A button, which is stupid.
It's not like that, yeah.
But yeah, looking forward to it.
I'm so fucking pumped.
I'm just...
And the A button's always fucking E-brake. God damn it.
Well, the clutch is whatever you set it to be. It can be the bumper, I think. It depends, because if you do shifting, you can use the bumpers as well.
It's hard to play manual with clutch on a controller.
It is. It caused me a lot of stress.
Yeah.
But I still tried. But yeah, now I'll be doing the wheel, proper pedal setup.
I'm so fucking ready.
And I'm hopefully going to buy myself the, I mentioned last week.
E-brake.
The E-brake. Attachment.
People have done it where they rigged up, they like tape their controller, they attach their controller to their frame.
Okay.
And then set up like with elastics and stuff, a lever that'll pull the trigger in for an e-brake, and they'll set it just as that. So that when they pull this lever, it pushes the trigger down.
That's a lot of effort.
I know it is.
I just want like the attachment, just pop.
Pop, pop.
Yeah.
Pop, Did they pop, make pop. An attachment for ours?
I think it's a separate USB. So you just have to like set it within the Logitech like controls.
I gotcha.
Yeah, so...
All right. So yeah, Dick was saying, we are going to be talking about some of our favorite and some war stories and war heroes that have struck other chords with us, or that we found their stories were super interesting, or they just played a huge part in the war kind of thing, like whatever war it was, whether it be First World War, Vietnam War, Second World War, anything. Anything that you think is notable. And that kind of struck a chord with you for Remembrance Day. We're going to be talking about I think you said you have two stories.
I got two, yeah.
And I got one really good story as well. And then we'll be following that with a moment of silence.
Yep.
For you guys to join us with as well. And yeah, so if you got two, why don't you do one? I'll do mine, and then you could do a second.
You're reading my mind. I was going to say exactly
that. We've been doing this too long.
So I'll start with one that is probably just... all around, like, pretty well known. This is like probably the most well known one because they made a movie about it, The Imitation Game.
Okay,
have you seen that movie?
No.
Honestly, it's an excellent movie. It's very good.
It's a Cumberbatch movie, isn't it?
This is a Cumberbatch movie.
I think I've seen pieces of it.
We brought up Cumberbatch in the last episode. I think I mentioned Imitation Game. Yeah, listen, that movie is hardcore. So the long story short is Alan Turing, who was played by Benedict Cumberbatch, was a mathematician.
Mm-hmm.
He also had, like, I believe, autism, but like maybe Asperger's. He had something there. And he invented this machine called Enigma, which basically cracked codes of German messages.
Okay.
Sending out to their troops to like give
secret
them
secret encoded messages.
Yeah, to like, you know, give them like plans and directions and coordinates and stuff like that to try and map out like where they're going to strike in the war. Now, cracking the code was so pivotal because once they were figuring out like the messages that were being sent, they were actually able to know like where attacks were going to happen, where they could intervene and stuff like that. But the biggest problem about that machine and having that power is they had to do it. So this, I believe, was done by MI6.
Okay.
Because I don't think, was it MI6? I'm going to get that wrong. You can feel free to like, you know, yell at me in the
British Secret Service.
It was because MI6 at the time was not public information, like nobody knew the MI6 existed. They only knew it up to MI5. So anyways, they had this power, but they couldn't abuse it. So the problem is like, if you know every single battle or every single attack that's going to happen,
they would clue into it.
Right. And if you reacted to every single one, the Germans are going to eventually realize that they are cracking your code and they're going to have to rewrite a new coding system. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really dark, because in the movie they do portray it. One of the guys who's part of the team who's building the machine, as soon as they build it and they start mapping out where all the ships are going and stuff like that, they realize that his brother is about to get ambushed.
Mm.
But the problem is...
That's one of the ones that they deemed not necessary.
Well, it's not that they deemed it not necessary. It just, it was like the one of the early ones they found out, and they just couldn't go and stop it because, again, it would be too obvious. So this guy is sitting there in that room knowing this is about to happen, and like everyone in the room is fully aware that his brother is about to die, and it's like having that kind of power and pressure put on you. Just like, and this guy was just like a mathematician. He had no idea what he was getting into. Just one day someone was like, hey man, you want to try and do this? And it's like, I don't think that became declassified, that whole mission, the whole Enigma machine, the whole, you know, like the whole story didn't get declassified until like fairly recently. Like, I think it was like in the past 20 years, because they knew that that technology may come in handy in the future.
Yeah.
We're at a point now where they have probably better stuff and better programs to crack codes. But I remember there was this lady who was part of the team. And I might get her name wrong. I want to say it was Betty Webb. I'm going to just quickly look up that name and make sure I'm speaking correctly. But she was part of, no, not Betty Webb. That's totally wrong. Enigma Web. Let me see if that type comes up. Anyways, I have a book on this, and so I might be, I'm completely wrong. I don't think it was Betty Webb, but it was something like pretty similar to that. Anyways, she went her whole life, all the way, like throughout her entire life, where her parents never actually knew what she did.
Mm.
She worked at this place. Her parents knew that, but she could never tell them, even past their death. She was never able to tell them, and they died without knowing what she did for all those years. And the people that worked for, you know, worked behind that machine had a problem getting jobs after the war because they literally couldn't tell.
They have no resume. Employee.
Like, they could say they worked at this building, but they can never say what they did. And she actually got a job from a fella years later when she applied to it, and she wrote the name of the company that was like the front of it, like on her resume. And the employer actually didn't read any further into her. He just called her up and said, I know what you did. You have a job. Mm. Like, and it's just like, she literally, like, that was probably the only person in her life aside from the team that knew. And when the team was done, they disbanded and they were never allowed to talk about it again. And I just think, like, it's so dark to know that, like, some guy's sitting there in this room knowing that people are going to die, and they have to pick and choose strategically
what
battles they're going to, and they had to strategically intervene as well, like, to make it look like it was an accident that they defended themselves. So it's pretty hardcore. It's definitely one of the best stories out there, in my opinion. And I think the movie really did a good job, because
I got to rewatch it, because I think I have seen it a long time ago and I don't remember it.
Yeah. And Alan Turing had a lot of struggles, like, at the time too. He was a gay man. So at the time, like, he had like to keep that in as a secret. Like, his whole life was secrets. Like, everything about him, like, was just like, he couldn't tell anyone what his accomplishments were aside from being like one of the most renowned mathematicians. Eventually they actually wrote a computer program that was a computer program for writing programs. It's called Turing. It's one of like the earlier ones that some programmers learn. I remember learning that back in high school. But yeah, that's like a heavy story, and I didn't probably do it justice enough to like put an impact on your mind. But it's just like, all the people in that team, they just like did this thing, probably the most amazing thing to date. Basically, they won the war. Like, they won the great, like, that war because of what they did, which is like next level. That's probably my favorite war story.
Pretty insane.
So yeah, if you don't know that, if you haven't seen the movie, I highly recommend that movie. It was a great movie. It's one of my favorites. I do watch it. Well, I haven't watched it in a while, but I've probably seen that movie like 5 times just because I love it so much.
Wicked. I got my my story here, which has also been turned into a movie at this point.
Yeah.
So a lot of people will know it as the Battle of Hacksaw Ridge.
I've never seen it, but I know I've been told I should see it.
So that is World War II. It is a battle between American soldiers and the Japanese.
Okay.
So it is took place at the Maeda Escarpment in April of 1945. All right. And so the soldier here that the story was about is Desmond Doss.
Okay.
That's what his name was. He was an infantry medic. He joined up. He enlisted as a combat medic. But he was a devout Seventh-day Adventist, and he was also a conscientious objector. So what a conscientious objector is, because of his religious beliefs, where he was like a super
Christian
Catholic person, he refused to carry a weapon.
I do remember the story.
He said, I want to enlist. I want to be a medic. I'm not carrying a gun.
Right.
I will not kill people.
Yeah.
But I will help people.
Yeah. And like he'll save the lives, but he won't take them.
Throughout that entire movie, it was basically how he's going through battles, and a lot of people are screaming at him and saying, oh, like, what's the point of you being here? Like, you're a waste. Like, you're a disgrace kind of thing. Like, you won't help your fellow soldiers. Like, you can't help defend your country. Like, all this stuff. And he was going through it all. He ended up going on to trial as well for war crimes because they were trying to get him arrested and charged and all this stuff for not carrying a gun because they're saying he was like almost, it's almost like treason.
Wow.
Right. So he ended up doing all that stuff, going through all of that. And eventually it all got thrown out. His dad ended up helping him out because his dad was a war hero as well. His brother was also in the war. That battle of Hacksaw Ridge at the Maeda Escarpment in 1945, he rescued on his own. So what it was too, as well, let me paint a picture of this. It was like a 300-foot cliff face.
Okay.
So they all landed in the at the coast, and then it was just cliff.
Right.
So what they did is they had rope ladders set up, and they were climbing up, and they were fighting. The battlefield was up at the top.
Right.
So they eventually got overrun. There were way too many of them. They were on foreign territory.
They were on the hill?
They started at the bottom.
Okay. So they're
all climbing down, jumping off, whatever, however they could get the hell out of there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He stayed up there. He hid because he knew there was a lot of injured up there. He hid in the trenches. He covered himself in dead bodies. He played dead. And he ended up rescuing 75 men on his own, carrying them over his shoulder and lowering them down this cliff face with rope.
Jeez.
Or carrying them down. 75 men, including Japanese soldiers.
Wow.
And then he would climb down afterwards and help treat them all.
That's next level.
So he was a conscientious objector, refused. They call him the man with the Medal of Honor who never fired a shot.
So he did get a Medal of Honor. I was going to ask
that
question.
He won the Medal of Honor. He did win the Medal of Honor, and he never once throughout the entire war fired a single shot.
Yeah, I do remember that story. That's heavy, man. Like, just like to have the balls to mm-hmm. be in a war like setting and not being armed to defend yourself.
Not to mention throughout in that battle, there was a point where he had found a few of his own injured soldiers, friends of his soldiers. And a grenade landed in the trench next to them and he tried to kick it away. It fell a little bit short and it ended up detonating shortly after he made contact with it. And he took severe laceration wounds to both of his legs.
And this still, is like while he was doing, wow.
And still finished out with his mission. That's, and got everybody he could find that was alive but injured out of there.
That's insane. That's hardcore. That is like,
mm-hmm.
there is some, there's a show on Netflix. It's called Medal of Honor. And I don't know if that one is specifically on there, but I watched it for a bit. I watched probably like the first season or like whatever. Mm. I don't remember how it's
broken up.
They're
just stories of soldiers that won the Medal of Honor.
But like some of these guys, man, like it's like something comes over these people in like the worst situation you could possibly be in. And
it's
all
like
of a sudden.
Survival instinct, right? It like almost kicks in like a shark with the black eyes. Like you just go into battle mode.
It's like beyond that. It's like because so I'm going to just actually pull up the like, well, I don't know if I have to pull up the definition of it, but. The Medal of Honor is the highest honor a soldier can receive. Oh, here it is. I got it right here.
Most of the time, the people that receive it are, they've died.
A lot of them have died. There's only been, I believe, 3,500 people or 3,508, it says, people that have been awarded the Medal of Honor. The last one being in May of this year. So the Medal of Honor is the United States government's highest and most prestigious military decoration that may be awarded to recognize American soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, Space Force guardians, and Coast Guardsmen who have distinguished themselves by acts of valor. And what that means is that you've gone above and beyond the call of duty. You've gone above and beyond what is expected of you as not just a citizen or a soldier, but like
as a person,
as just like a human being. Like you've done something so extraordinary that no one else can do, or no one else has done, or
tried to do.
Majority of people don't have the balls to do. It's like, this isn't on my list, but there's one story in that where these guys got pinned down behind this wall. I forget what war it is, but there was basically like a turret nest or like a foxhole up on like a slightly elevated plane.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys were like stuck behind a wall because they didn't notice it, and they were just getting gunned down. And the one guy was like, they were ordered to stay or like try and flee. But they got one guy knew, I don't remember his name. He knew that if, you know, no matter what,
if you tried to flee, you were going to die.
If you stay there, you're going to die. If you try and flee, you're going to die. So he was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab, like, he went akimbo, grab like a couple guns, and basically just kind of ran up the side and took the turret's nest like by surprise. And I can't remember how many bullets this guy took, but it was like seven. Like he took seven bullets, defending them, distracted them long enough for his whole squad to get the fuck out. And it's like, yeah, like that, like I can honestly say, like, I'm pretty certain that I can sit here and right now and tell you that I would not do that.
No.
Like I would not have the balls to do that. I would probably be the guy cowering behind the wall, realizing
wondering what
dead.
The fuck I was going to do. Yeah.
But no, he's like, he manned up to like the fucking 11th degree or whatever the saying is, and just said, fuck it. Like, we're all going to die, or I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's pretty like amazing. If you ever feel like just sitting down one day and watching that show, it's like, it's sad, but it's also like you have actual Medal of Honor recipients talking about the show. You have a lot of like important people that like sit there and discuss it. Yeah, if you know someone that has one, like give them a handshake. They probably will never tell you that they have one. Like these people that receive them are the most honorable people for the most part. I'm going to ignore that.
I couldn't. That was terribly rude.
Yeah, good timing. So I know we're still early in the episode, but I will say my second one, because this one's badass. Let me just go up to it. Like this, where did it go here? Why is my phone disagreeing with me? Sorry, one second. I got to pull it. I want to, you know, misspeak or whatever. So if you know this one, you know probably why I like it. Corporal Joseph Vittori, I believe this is how you pronounce his name.
Okay.
Was a 22-year-old United States Marine who was killed in action during the Korean War. After serving 3 years in the Marine Corps, he returned home, joined the Marine Corps Reserve, and worked various jobs around his home. It doesn't say in the blurb here, but he actually ended up going in the war again a few years later. I forget what it was, but he unfortunately had passed in that one. What he got his Medal of Honor for is something absolutely fucking insane. He was part of this. So there was a big border dispute on this hill between the Koreas, North and South. And where he was stationed was on the top of a hill. And there was like, I forget how far apart they were, but there was four foxholes with turrets,
mm-hmm.
Just spaced out. And they're like, it wasn't like they were like 5 feet apart. They were like probably like several hundred meters apart,
yeah,
across like the hill face. And somehow, I guess all of his squad basically got overrun at a certain point, or they all passed, or they all were like retreating or whatever.
Mm.
He decided that he was kind of fucked either way, and went to each outpost in random order, and rotated between them, and was shooting the turrets to make an illusion that there was like a full squad up on the top of this hill. It was one guy.
Wicked.
One badass motherfucker was like just stationing across these four turrets. And there was like hundreds of troops or whatever down at the bottom, like, or far enough away that they're trying to kill him. And he just kept going and going and going. I can't remember because it's been a long time since I watched the episode that it's about, but I believe he did get shot like a couple times and just kept going. And it's going to go back to the link I had here just to read the thing. Joseph Vittori. So I'm just going to scroll down to the blurb about his Medal of Honor. Oh, no, he was actually killed during that.
Oh, okay.
So he did get shot a few times. So he was killed during the Battle of the Punch Bowl while defending against an assault on Hill 749 near, I'm going to say this so wrong, Songnidong, Korea, on the night of September 15th to 16th in 1951. He was fatally wounded while fighting off an enemy breakthrough at a gap in his battalion's lines. He was the 19th Marine to earn the nation's highest decoration for heroism in Korea. He received the Medal of Honor. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Again, like, that's another situation right there where I would have been like, nah, man, fuck this.
I'm going to leave, yeah.
Yeah.
They can have this hill.
Like, the selflessness that these people have. I really wish I could sit here and be like, yeah, I would totally do this. But, like, the reality is, like, they've only given this out to 3,500 people and change.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a lot.
It's not a lot.
When you think of, like, how many people are in the forces of various sorts across the states, how many people have gone to war, like, he just, like, assumed the, what does it say, where does the sentence start here? Quick to respond to an urgent call for a rifleman to defend a heavy machine gun positioned on the extreme point of the northern flank and virtually isolated for the remainder of the unit when the enemy again struck in force during the night. He assumed position under the devastating barrage and fighting a single-handed battle, leaped from one flank to the other, covering each foxhole in turn as casualties continued to mount. Manning a machine gun while the gunner was struck down and making repeated trips through the heaviest shell fire to replenish ammunition. With the situation becoming extremely critical, reinforcing units to the rear pinned down under the blistering attack, and foxholes left practically void by dead and wounded for a distance of 100 yards, he continued his valiant stand, refusing to give ground as the enemy penetrated to within feet of his position. Yeah, man, that's hardcore.
That's insane.
That's like approximately 200 enemy dead were found the following morning. 200 to 1 is a pretty outstanding ratio.
Yeah, it's not bad, eh?
That is like,
it's insane.
I mean, my KD in Call of Duty is negative. This guy, like, I gotta say, like, I give you some fucking respect there, bro.
That, hell yeah. Fist, like, bumping you in the sky, man.
Yeah, man. Like, absolutely. I'm going to say we should
crack a proper 12 for
crack
that.
Crack a proper 12. Well, that's all we have, but. You doing a rinse?
Yeah, I got coffee residue.
Ooh, wow, that was really a good loud one. Yeah, man. I love these stories. I mean, it's obviously, like, you know, horrible things had to happen in order for these stories to be able to be told and whatever. But, oh, yeah, a little black spot. And you want to take that out just in case? That's a...
I think it's a coffee grind.
Oh, that's not chip residue?
No. Even if, that's nothing.
I don't want...
That's good.
Yeah, we're about even there. Yeah, so, you know, like, before we move on to any other fun topics and joke around, as we normally do, I will just say, if you are some form of service member, whether it's emergency services or military... You know, any and all of the above, we appreciate your service.
Absolutely.
It doesn't go unnoticed.
As somebody working towards being in the emergency services, all the respect out to you guys.
Yep.
I've known for a long time that I wanted to do something. I've been bouncing around all three of them, between EMS, police, or fire.
Yeah, just something just to give back.
Happy to help the community, happy to do everything I can to keep everything safe and working as it should.
Yep. Definitely shout out to you. Thank you for everything you've done. We'll give you guys a what time are we in here? I guess we'll give you the moment of silence. We'll take a quick swig.
We're going to do a little toast, and then we'll have a minute of silence, which set here.
If everyone else joins us, we appreciate it. You know, don't do anything irresponsible. Like, if you're driving, don't pull over for it or anything like that.
Well, that's not irresponsible. Let go of the wheel, obviously.
Well, it's a couple years back, there was a thing where a bunch of people pulled over on the Highway 400 for the moment of silence. And I appreciate the effort.
Absolutely.
But you're really doing something risky. At least get off the next exit and then
find
a parking lot or something. Still appreciate the effort, but don't put yourself in harm's way just to make this kind of thing happen. Mm-hmm. So, thank you all very much.
From the Dick Van Mike Show.
From the Dick Van Mike Show.
All right.
And we will engage in a moment
of silence.
Of silence.
All right.
Thank you all for that. If you joined us, if not, and you do it later or you've already done it, also thank you. So I think I realized that, our day, it's not our day. It's the poppy is the thing that's unique to Canada.
You
I
wear
realize.
It from, I think November 1st to 11th, they ask people to wear them.
Oh, excuse me. I got some burps. Sorry.
It's all good.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a timeline on when you should start, but you definitely wear it on the day.
I usually wear it for the whole month of November, to be completely honest with you. I'll usually sport one for all of November.
At least
until shortly after Remembrance Day, at least.
I usually do what you did because I realized I've changed my visor a few times in the past year. Because
I always do.
Always
I usually
break.
Have three. So I've got one right now on my work uniform. I've got one on the exterior coat of my work uniform, and I had the one on my visor, which I'm going to put this one back on my visor, so I always have one.
Yeah, I usually have one on the visor too, but I changed mine literally a couple weeks ago and a few weeks before I changed it, so I had to take it off. But just if anyone, I don't know where they don't do Remembrance Day, but if anyone's confused or anything, Remembrance Day was first observed in 1919 throughout the British Commonwealth. It was originally called... I'm going to say this wrong. Armistice Day?
Armistice Day.
Armistice Day. To commemorate Armistice Agreement that ended the First World War on Monday, November 11th, 1918 at 11 a.m. on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month.
Yeah, I was going to say that's in my day of history right here. So 1918, it would have been November 11th. World War One, Armistice signed by the Allies in Germany comes into effect, and the hostilities of World War One ended at 11 a.m., the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's definitely a day now that we just basically, even though that's what started it, it's just now a day to remember any troops. And honestly, when I stand there for the moment of silence, even right now, even though we're doing this so far in advance of the day, I always get I don't want to say goosebumps. It's more of I don't know. Overwhelmed with the thought of different things, because I try and imagine I don't know what everyone else does in their moment of silence, but for me I try and imagine what it would be like just for a minute, in the war situations. You see it all on the news, different countries that are at war with each other, different bombed, all the children and women who are literally sheltering in their homes.
Not a lot of people are as lucky as us at this point. There's a lot of people that still have to hide in their homes most days.
It's a moment for me. It's a moment of gratitude to just appreciate. We I mean, I think statistically speaking, we live in like the safest part of the world.
One of like, the safest countries in the world.
No, I mean like literally like to like the geographic point where we are, it's like one of the safest places like you could possibly live in like the entire world.
It's so mainland.
Well, no, I mean like the GTA, like the like where we are, like literally like here, like this, like especially where like the town that we live in.
Yeah.
Like is up there, like really, like it's definitely near the top of the list on like, oh, absolutely. Like nothing bad ever happens to us. I mean, scale,
I have friends of mine that live not even 45 minutes from us, and they sent me a Snapchat last week of hearing gunshots.
Yeah,
like it's there's a lot of stupid shit going on still, and regardless of people thinking, oh, we're in a safe area, nothing bad will ever happen, like people in downtown Toronto, we're probably saying that 50 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's we're definitely privileged as shit for where we live for the sake of our safety. And that's one thing I try and think about is like, you know, like even when you see war movies and like someone just bombs like a small village and you're just like, damn, like that's not fiction.
No.
Like that's it real. Happens. That's a real
it's
thing
happened,
that happens
and it will
like,
continue
that
to happen.
Happens daily.
Yeah.
In some unfortunate places.
I mean, think of what's going on in African countries and the Middle East and stuff like that. Like, simple trucks full of food and water are showing up in towns, and people are rolling in with assault rifles, killing a bunch of people, taking the truck and getting the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Like, there's still a ton of shit going on that shouldn't be going on.
Yeah.
But we're fortunate enough to have had people fight for that and to make sure that that doesn't happen in our area.
Exactly. So that's how I treat my moment of silence, is I just try and be, you know, empathetic, show gratitude, and just realize, like, it's not really that bad. I might stress about, you know, like, the storage on my laptop being full.
A lot of people like, are going, oh, well, I don't drive a Mercedes. Yeah. How the fuck am I going to be cool?
My phone camera is not the best one on the market. It's
who
like,
fucking
cares? None of that shit. None of that shit matters at all.
It doesn't.
It's so unimportant. If you wake up every morning and you are healthy, that is way more than enough.
It's all boiling down to when we had Jarrett on here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's a good episode if anyone wants to look back.
When you stop worrying about material possessions, what your status is and how cool you are,
yeah,
or how much money you have or all of these things, life gets a hell of a fucking lot easier. I can tell you that for
no stress.
For damn sure.
Yeah, the
you just wake up every morning, you got a car that moves, even if you don't have a car, you got a bicycle, gets you where you need to be, you got shoes on your feet, you got clothes on your back, you got a roof over your head, that's it.
Every day that you wake up and you're healthy and your family is healthy
is a new day.
That's a good day.
It's a good day.
No matter what else happens. Like, there's always that running joke where it's like, you know, I go for a run in the morning to make sure my day can't get worse. Well, the fact that you were able to wake up
and go for a run,
shows that you are having an excellent day.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I don't agree with you on many things, but that's one of the things.
Actually, my family and I had a funny conversation at dinner today because my brothers, you know, but at this point where we are in BC, obviously I'm not recording from BC, but with my brother going out there, we're trying to talk about like ways to get his possessions out there and like talking about storage units and like how many people, I don't personally know, I don't think, maybe I do, that have storage units that they just pay monthly for, and they probably have no fucking idea what's inside them. Like, we were just laughing.
Hell yeah.
We were just laughing about that at dinner, because like I was like, oh yeah, like if you need something, I can like ship it to you, and if you don't have a place to live in, you could just throw it in a storage unit. And like the conversation came up about like, why would you get a storage unit? And I was like, you know, this is like the unique situation where a person actually needs one when they don't have a place to live and they're trying to find a place to live. But like, there are people who just like pay monthly for a storage unit. Like, there's literally a show about it because of how many people leave
and they
them,
just abandon them.
Abandon them.
And then
And it's like that's such a stupid privilege thing to like have a storage unit and have all this stuff. But yeah.
And then it goes for $40 and people end up making thousands of dollars off of these things.
I mean, that show is definitely staged, but
it's
still just it's comical.
Because you know how many there probably are? There's probably so many.
The storage industry, I was watching on the Minimalist documentary, so I'm obviously going back to that because that documentary definitely hit me hard. It's like, it's such a profitable business. Like, you pretty much can't lose when you're doing storage units, you know? Like, people just want to store shit. And here I am, like, watching the minimalist documentary going, like, how can I get rid of all of this stuff completely? Just, like, take my room, burn it down.
And a lot of people are just like, fucking throw it in a storage unit. It's junk anyway.
Yeah. It's right? Like, that's the garbage. It's like, I remember the first time I watched the minimalist documentary. I fell asleep after I was done in the movie because I was tired. But the following night, I was sitting in my room about to go to bed, and I legit couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
It was bothering me so much.
Now, how much stuff you had.
I will say, like, within my family household, I pretty much, like, stick to my bedroom. Like, yeah. I don't, like, I have stuff elsewhere in the house, but, like, a majority of my personal belongings are just stationed there.
Yeah.
And I was looking at, like, the shelves. I was looking at my closet. Like, my closet was at the time, like, overfilled. Like, there were so many clothes. And I know I've talked about this probably, like, 40 episodes ago, but I just couldn't sleep that night. It was bugging me so much. I literally just wanted to, like, set fire to my room and just start from scratch. Like, it was bothering me so much. I cleared out, like, half my clothes. Like, I had we have streaming services. Why do I have DVDs and CDs? Like, all these things, you know, like, it was fucked.
I remember you did yard sales on yard sales and messaging me about if you want this.
I was giving shit away to friends. Yeah, we were talking about this. I gave you a little Pokemon dog tag.
And I got it on my keys. See? Pokemon, got to catch them all.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
I love Pokemon.
Well, I mean, I do too, but like...
You got enough Pokemon shit.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I started collecting things again. Like, I got a lot of Lego sets now.
I know you do.
On my shelf. Yeah. And I have like the girlfriend bought me these like soda cans of like their Pokemon theme from like this Japanese store or whatever. Okay. And I only have them on display. They're just like sparkling sodas. That's all they are.
But they're Pokemon flavored, theme.
But they have Pokemon on them. And it's not like they're limited edition or nothing. They're not special.
You could buy a case of them if you wanted to.
Well, I think you buy them individual because they're like literally shipped here from like Japan and like to this specific like grocery store. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I was looking at them the other day. I'm like, it's great that she got me those. It was like part of a bigger gift. But it's like all the Lego sets, like I could literally just tear them apart, put them back in the box because I keep the boxes because I'm crazy. Like, give them to a kid and make their day.
Dude, and fucking, like, when you're...
They're going to be worth something.
When you're an ancient raisin...
I'm hanging on to them.
Those are going to be worth a fortune.
I am hanging on to them.
They're already worth a fortune.
Yeah.
I looked when you and Matt were getting into your crazy Lego building, all that stuff, and you're doing streams on it and stuff, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I would do one of those, because I'd, like, that'd be fun. Yeah. And I'm looking at that shit, I'm going, $300 for Lego? Well,
we definitely don't spend $300
those on those. Those are the
big-ass ones. Those are, like, yeah. You're looking at, like, coffee table size, like the ones we get are like up to like $50. I think the most I've ever spent on a Lego set, and the only reason I spent this much is because it was on sale, was like I think $79.
And my mom sent me the Death Star.
No, it was just it's a baby Yoda, but it's like the full size one.
Oh, okay.
So what happened was my mom was in I forget what store, but she sent me a picture of it because my mom knows I like Lego and she knows like Star Wars, like easy thing to make me happy. And she's like, hey, do you have any interest in this? And like, I didn't have any interest in it, but it was, you know, $79 or $80 in the store. I immediately went to Kijiji and all these guys are selling them for between 100 and 120.
Yeah.
So obviously these guys are people on
probably
Kijiji.
A limited run when Mandalorian started.
I don't know if it was limited, but the point is like, why was it on sale in this store, but people are still selling it for so much? And when I check back, it's still maintaining that price range.
Yeah.
It's like a little investment.
Oh, absolutely.
So like, I mean, I'm not actually going to get rid of my Lego sets because I know they're going to be worth something one day.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I look at the Lego, I look at the little figures. I have like a Pepsi and a Coke bottle, like a vintage Pepsi and Coke bottle. Like, I don't think they're worth anything because there's so many of them in the world. It's just like a cool thing to have on your shelf. But like, why? So I've been doing that a bit lately. I've been guilty of looking at my room and going, I don't need this stuff. I'm keeping it. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm kind of beyond like the crazy. Like,
you gotta have some shit where you look at and go, why?
Yeah.
Like, you gotta have something.
I have gone past, like, for when I first watched the documentary, I went crazy and just got rid of so much stuff. I don't regret it. It's just I went a little like hardcore, a little radical, if you will.
Like that Lois episode on Family Guy when she gets rid of the entire house?
No, I haven't seen that.
You haven't?
No, I gotta it's watch funny. It. I haven't it's watched really, a really lot funny. Of, I've only watched like a lot of
she,
old Family
She gets
Guy.
Rid of so much stuff that when they walk into the house, it's just a white, empty space.
I mean, that's nice. It's like the goal. You gotta.
She looks at stuff and goes, this doesn't spark joy. And then she just throws it in the garbage.
It's a Marie Kondo thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I mean, Marie Kondo, you know, she's got a lot of good tips in there. It's a little bit radical.
Yeah, oh yeah, obviously. It's a little, a lot of this stuff is going to be radical, right?
Like the minimalists, when they show you like their house, it's like they got like a coffee table and like one lazy boy chair. Not even a lazy boy chair. It's just like a recliner, like a cheap little recliner. Yeah. And like they don't even have TVs. It's like,
it's just a nice sitting area.
Like, I got my laptop. I can watch Netflix on my laptop. I'm like, okay, you're...
It's a little too much.
He's like, I got like enough cutlery just for myself.
Because
like,
yes, I have my little TV in my room, right? A small TV.
Yeah.
I think I have like a 23-inch or something like that. I guess, oh no, a 32-inch or something. Like it's
whatever,
small.
Whatever.
But then you like, obviously sometimes you want to watch it on a big screen. You want to watch a nice movie. Yeah.
These guys are like crazy. It's there's some people out there that do like there's like a 51 trend and it's like you have 51 possessions, period.
That's
like including the clothes that you're wearing on that given day.
That's too much.
So like if you go out and like buy a new hat, that's 52 possessions. That's too many.
Gotta get rid of things.
You gotta get rid of something.
That's a lot. That's a little too much.
Yeah, it's excessive.
That's a little excessive.
I mean, there's also the what's it, the 333 rule. It's like for I think it's called 333. It's like you have 3 months and you can only wear 33 items. And that comes down to like your socks, underwear, and shoes, mm-hmm. and like any accessories, watches, bracelets, jewelry. And you have to if you break it down, you realize that's like 5 shirts, like 5 pants, like 5 hats. You're already at 15.
Yeah.
That's half of your 33
underwear.
Items.
Underwear.
You know, shoes, underwear, socks. Like, it's not really a lot to work with.
No, not at all.
Like, I probably have 30 shirts.
Yeah, probably.
And like, I got rid of like half of them.
I know before. You did. You had a ton of band shirts, though.
Yeah, I actually saved the band shirts.
That's one thing that I'm super guilty of is every time I go to a concert, I do buy the tour shirt.
Yeah.
And I've still got every single one.
Same. Yeah.
Every single shirt, the concert I've ever been to, I have a shirt from it.
Yep.
Or a sweater.
I'm the same way.
And
it's
it's taking up at this point. I have 4 drawers in my dresser, an entire drawer. Is concert shirts.
Yeah.
And I barely wear them.
And those are hard to get rid of.
They are.
Because as soon as you pick it up, you're like,
oh, this is a sick concert.
And you remember the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, every single one I pick up, I'm like, yeah.
I remember that show.
That was a good show.
That was
if you ask me what the concert I've been to right now, I won't remember like half
of them. I have
some
that don't even fucking fit me anymore.
Same.
Like concerts I went to in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly.
I look at it and I'm like, I can't get rid of this shit.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. It's the material possession thing is very
I'm very guilty for the band shirts, absolutely.
Yeah, that's definitely I'm on that too. But the thing is like at the end of the day, as you said, you pick it up and it sparks you some joy. Like it makes you happy.
Yeah.
Like don't get rid of it. It's not that's what I mean. I stopped being radical. Like I there were certain things I put into like another closet where I was like, I really shouldn't get rid of these, but let me just try and clear them out of my main space.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there. Because they're just in the next door closet. So every... Jesus, man.
Dude, I don't know what's wrong with me today.
You got to sort that out.
I'm trying.
But yeah, it's definitely like something people should think about. But it's, you know, don't get radical.
Yeah.
Don't be like I did when I couldn't sleep. Like I literally was like up until like 4 in the morning that night. Like cleaning stuff. And like I did a good job. But it's...
Good Lord.
It was like... I was like... My mind was like... Like, burn everything down. Just burn the whole fucking room. Like, get rid of everything. Throw it all in the garbage. Now, I don't give a fuck about anything.
What kind of Canadian are you at this point wearing a coat when it's, like, 7 degrees out?
Oh, man, I'm sensitive to cold. I'm over winter. I'm not a proper Canadian anymore. Like, I need
disappointed.
To, like... I need, like, 5 layers on a winter day.
You're an OG Canadian.
I need a t-shirt. A sweater.
Yeah.
And then my, like... thick coat. You know my red plaid one?
Yeah.
Which is basically like a heavy sweater.
Yeah.
Basically a coat. And on top of that, I'll wear a coat.
I know you do.
So 4 layers minimum. Some days, if it's really cold, I'll throw a long sleeve over the t-shirt.
Meanwhile, there's me with a t-shirt and my pea coat on. That's it.
Yeah, man. I can't do that. I really
can't.
I'm
usually good.
Like, if I do a pea coat, especially if I'm going out, I got to layer up. Like, there's always got to be some sort of like t-shirt underneath like a nice like dress shirt. And then the jacket, and then the coat.
Jesus.
Like, I am so...
So you're plenty toasty.
No, man, I'm still cold when that happens.
Well, you also have no body fat.
I have no fat. Like,
you got to get some insulation.
I have a little... The fact that you can grab it like
I'm that. Italian. What do you mean? We can all grab it.
You shouldn't be able to. It should be like a rock. It should be like a wrecking ball.
No, it's not a
wrecking ball. I also didn't realize that this is like buttoned up. I didn't really mean to go for that look, but whatever.
Whatever.
You know.
You're repping it. You got it.
I'm gonna undo it. You know?
Okay, here's a question for you.
Show off the plain-ass sweater underneath it.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah?
So, what do you think the starting vehicles in Forza Horizon 5 are going to be?
Ooh.
Because I think, what, the ones in Horizon 4 were a 79 Charger RT.
Honestly, I don't even remember what they were.
A Focus RS.
Okay.
And the Audi TT RS.
There's only three?
Yes.
Those all seem very random. I think the RS is the only one that, like the Focus RS is the only one that makes sense because that came out at that time.
The TTRS was modern as well at that point.
Well, it wasn't modern. It's just they had made them so many times. But yeah. The Focus was a brand new, like full brand new body style.
Yeah. So I guess it was kind of like if you want an import, you want a domestic, or you want a classic.
I guess it depends, like, because they've probably planned it out, but it depends what concepts they have now that are actually going to be reality. So like, it's very possible we're going to see the new Supra, like the more recent Supra.
I don't think it'll be a starter. I think it'll be in the game. I don't think that would be a starter.
Have they announced what's on the cover yet?
I think it is the Supra.
The Supra's on the cover?
Either the Supra or the Bronco, because those are the ones I've seen the most in trailers.
Okay, what's the game called? It's, Horizon 5?
Forza Horizon 5. The Bronco is huge in it, so they must be getting some serious... Okay.
Horizon 5 cover car. It's... Oh, that's interesting.
What is it?
It's an AMG 1.
Let me see. Oh, and a Bronco.
And a Bronco in the background?
I knew the Bronco was going to be in there because that's been...
There's two of them. There's two Broncos in the background.
Yeah. The Bronco is a huge part of Horizon 5. It's been in every trailer. It's been every gameplay video. It's all over the place.
So
it's in the starting race cutscene thing that they always do.
That's interesting. I don't know what the starting cards are going to be. I couldn't even possibly pick that. I would hope that they're like low-level cards like that. Like I hope that maybe it's like the new Integra concept. Like something like that.
I don't know if they're going to put concepts though, because I know they're hiding it.
Again, it's like about what they actually release and what's not. So I know they're not going to put that concept in there. I'm just saying if it becomes a reality. What else? Well, the new WRX is coming out, but I don't think that'd be a starter car.
No. In terms of starting...
The C8, but that's a bit too powerful.
It's a bit powerful.
What else is new? What else has come out? Do you think they would go as low as like a Fiesta?
The Fiesta's gone, discontinued. They wouldn't put that in.
Well, it's still in Rallycross.
Yeah.
It's discontinued? Yeah. Officially? Yeah. Oh, I thought that was just
every car from Ford has been discontinued, other than the Mustang.
I thought they were keeping the Focus and like the Fusion or something.
Gone. The Fusion, yes, but the Focus is gone.
Really? Okay. What else? Mitsubishi's not doing nothing special this year.
Mitsubishi's discontinuing the Lancer as well.
Subaru's not really got anything going for it. Honda doesn't have anything.
Honda has the brand new Civic. The SI is just starting to roll in. But I don't think you'd
start with a Civic.
An SI maybe.
Nah, that'd be too easy. Volkswagen's got nothing. GTI. Audi's got nothing.
They might pick another Audi.
So the thing is, they always try and pick like...
Or a Mercedes A-Class.
What Forza has done like traditionally is they either pick a bunch of options from the same sort of class or like a few options from completely radically different classes.
Yeah.
I would say that they're probably going to go for the radically different classes because they're opening up so much more stuff. So the Bronco... I don't think that will be one.
I don't think it would be a starter.
The reason I don't think it would be a starter is because they wouldn't want to make it that easy. It might be something and it might not even be available to buy.
It might be available to get as maybe like the cross country starter.
No, what I mean is like it might not be something you buy. It might be something you have to win.
Maybe. Very well could be.
The Gladiator probably is in the same con.
The new BMWs will probably be in it.
So you're asking a question that's impossible to answer based on how things are going in the past year. Like nothing spectacular has come out this year, in my opinion. Like this has not been a great year for cars. Unless you're talking about like really
they are
high
putting
end.
Teslas in the new one though as well. I did see.
Yeah. So maybe you start with like a Model 3. Actually, they wouldn't put a Model 3 in there. That's it'd still be like faster the Model S of the Roadster. Shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're asking a good question I do not have the answer to.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see if there's any rumors.
I mean, we are like almost an hour into this. We can almost get to the
starter
news.
Cars. The trio of starter cars for Forza Horizon 5. This year, players will get a choice between the Chevrolet C8 Corvette Stingray.
Oh, shit.
2021 Ford Bronco and the Toyota Supra GR.
Wow, look how smart I am.
We guessed all three of those.
Yep. So
there we go. Those are the three starters.
You put me down on the Supra, but I definitely was right about that one.
Because I didn't think it would be a starter. It seems like it's a little bit fast.
Well, I already know what car I'm picking.
Supra.
Yeah.
Very well. I mean, the C8 Corvette's pretty sick too, though.
No, well, we'll see. We'll see what they class it as. Because if they class it as a muscle car, because it is a Stingray, then I won't have any interest.
But if it's the Stingray, that means it's not the mid-engine.
They have a C8 front engine and rear engine?
They had the C8 Stingray, which was the old one that had the quad exhaust tips on the back, remember?
What?
I don't know if the Stingray
is... I think you're making something up. No, C8 Stingray is the mid engine. Yeah, that's what it is. So what I'm saying is that okay. That would have to be within like the supercars, the modern supercar. Because that car has a lot of carbon fiber and it's still pushing like 600 and change horsepower.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. It's like I wouldn't pick it. I'll still go for the Supra. That's what I will go for.
The Supra is going to be better all around, I would think.
I mean, depends what you're going to race, right? Like, I'm going to probably go heavy on the street and the rally. So, like, my first car is going to be the Supra, and then my second car is just going to be like an Impreza. STI.
Yeah. So I really like the Italian rally cars.
Yeah, I like the Lancia and like the Audi.
The Audi.
Oh, sorry, you said Italian. I don't know why I said.
I really like the Lancias, and I really like the, what else did they fucking use? Son of a bitch. I don't remember, but I really am a big fan of Lancia, and I'm a big fan of Renault.
Yeah, Renault.
No, thanks.
Renault? That's French, right?
French.
I
think the Clio V6s were awesome for rally.
What's the other Italian one? I know...
Lotus.
I guess they did a bit of
rally. That was British as well.
Is that British? That's not. Yeah, it's not Italian. Italian rally cars. What do we got here? Wow.
Italian rally. Oh, Fiat was big in rally as well.
Yeah, I
Lancia
guess
Stratos, Lancia 037, Fiat 131, Lancia Delta, Ferrari 308 GTB. They put that in the fucking rally? Really? They put a fucking Ferrari in the rally.
I don't believe that. Unless they really lifted it up and stuff.
Ferrari 308 GTB.
Is a Lada Italian?
No, that's British.
Is that British?
Lada Reaver, yeah.
I guess Italy doesn't have a lot of off-road options, eh? They're really about keeping their feet clean.
Yeah, look at this shit.
Oh, that's kind of
that's a Ferrari 308.
That's kind of dope. I mean, typically, yeah, Italian cars are all about keeping your feet clean and, you know, driving on pavement only and being low to the ground and loud and obnoxious.
That looks sick.
Yeah, it kind of looks cool, but I don't like that as a rally car. Like, a rally car has got to be, like, I don't know. To me, it has to be boxy.
Gritty
like,
and boxy.
And, like,
big spotlights.
Know. Yeah, like...
No Italian poor wiring.
And for the new ones, like, they got to be hatchbacks. Like, I don't know why you'd rally a non-hatchback except for, like, an STI, but that's, like... Oh, I guess a WRX, not an STI.
The old Audi Quattros were awesome, too, though.
They were hatchbacks.
Not all of them.
Two-door hatchbacks.
I mean, yeah. I guess the Celicas were also hatchback, technically. Yep. Hyundai raced the Tiburon in there for a while.
Hatchback.
Did
they rally a Tiburon?
For a little bit. Now they do the Velosters. That sounds
dumb. The Velosters are obviously
and the Elantras.
A four-door hatchback, not a five-door. Because they have a half-door.
Which one?
The Velosters. They're considered a four-door. Well, the hatch is always a door.
Yeah, it's a four-door.
The hatch is always a door. So it's like one driver, two on the passenger, and one in the back.
Then which is a cool design, to be completely honest.
The Peugeots and like WRC 2, I guess, or 3.
Peugeots are awesome. Opel. Opel's big in rally as well.
They're in the lower rally, I think. I don't think they're even in the WRC anymore. I don't even think they're a company anymore.
Opel? I don't think they are.
And then, yeah, it's just Ford. It's like basically Ford and Toyota and Volkswagen that are like the top right now.
Yeah. No, so Audi?
No.
It's not like, even Subaru?
Like in the WRC, it's basically Ford Fiestas, Toyota Yaris, and the Volkswagen Polo.
So small hatchbacks.
Yeah.
Light.
Yeah.
Very light, flickable.
Basically just like cereal box cars.
Very good.
Anyways, news?
Yeah, let's get into some news. Would you like to do your little thing?
I don't care. You do it, man.
The news.
Yeah. You got to give me a bit more of a time frame to chop it there.
Breaking news.
The news. I'll work with that. I don't know how you do that. But like, what do you do with the mouth? Like, what do you do with it? Is it your tongue?
It's inward whistle.
Oh, I definitely know how to do that. That's like, that's some magical science beyond my capabilities.
My mother taught me. All right.
Skills passed down in the family, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right.
We got some birthdays.
Okay.
All right. Up first. So the day is November 11th.
Yes.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No shit.
We were talking about him last week.
Yeah, we were.
He's turning 47.
That sounds about right.
About right, right? Second one, Onision. Who you may not know.
Never heard that before.
Onision is a YouTuber who was huge long time ago. And then a bunch of scandals came out. Do you remember the old Family Channel singer Shiloh?
Yeah, I met her.
So they were dating.
Okay.
And he was very both physically and mentally abusive towards her, including there's videos of him throwing shit at her, forcing her to shave her head and all this kind of stuff. Like, not good stuff.
That's not great.
He's under a lot of attack right now, actually. And he's actually got
like custody. Today?
Yeah. When he was like 30, he's turning 36 anyway. Okay. But when he was about 30 years old, he ended up marrying like a 14 or a 15 year old.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, he's got kids with her and everything like that. I don't think she was that young when they got married, but he was like grooming her basically. From Jeez. A young age. He's into a lot of fucked up shit. And he's actually being investigated by Chris Hansen, if you know who that is, To Catch a Predator.
I know the name. I just don't know what
he's,
it is.
Yeah, the host of To Catch a Predator. He hunts down like pedophiles and shit like that. Mm. Sets up stings to get them.
Good. That's fucked up.
With Dateline NBC.
What?
Chris Hansen. That show's on Dateline NBC. Like, they do a lot of investigative reporting and stuff like that. Anyway. But yeah, Onision turning 36. Demi Moore, turning 59 years old, another actress. Stanley Tucci, 61.
Don't know who that is.
Stanley Tucci? You know exactly who he is if I showed you a picture. He was the announcer host guy on Hunger Games.
I need a Hunger Games picture of him. It's been a minute since I've seen Hunger Games. Like,
I'm pretty sure he was Hunger Games.
Been like since it came out. If he was in it, yeah, dude. I don't think I recognize him. But if you just pull me up like in a movie he was in,
that's him from Hunger Games.
Oh, that first picture that you showed me looked nothing like how I know him.
Yeah,
I've never seen him with no hair.
So yeah, he was like the TV host on Hunger Games.
Yeah, I know. Like he from like a lot of other shows.
Anyway, you saw
wasn't
him.
Wasn't he the host of what's that show we watched as kids? I don't know if you watched or not. Fuck, it's going to bug the shit out of me. We're like, if they got a wrong answer, they had like sludge poured on them.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Oh my God, this is going to drive me up the fucking
anyway,
wall.
Anyway, you saw
it
the picture.
It was called Uh-Oh. Oh. That's the show it was called.
Anyway, you saw the picture of him with no hair and the glasses, right? That's a modern picture. He's turning 61.
61?
Yeah.
Let me see if I'm right.
Man's is looking good.
Before you move on, let me just see if I'm right about this. Oh, no, I'm totally wrong. I'm stupid as shit.
Yeah, a little bit.
He has the same hair as the guy in the Hunger Games. That's why I thought it was him.
Anywho.
Not even similar in any fucking way whatsoever.
Stanley Tucci's turning 61.
Okay. I do know who he is, though.
There you go. So, next up, David DeLuise, who you'll best know as the father from Wizards of Waverly Place.
Never seen it?
Anyway,
no, people that... I was probably on a channel that I didn't get as a kid.
Family Channel.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Selena Gomez.
Yeah, I never got Family Channel. I never got Family Channel. I never got Teletoon. I never got Disney.
That's why you watch so many fucked up movies.
I only got YTV. That was it. My options were YTV, so I basically had Digimon, Beyblades, and Pokemon.
Perfect.
And that was it. Sailor Moon.
It's a good trio. Sailor Moon was dope.
I never really watched it, though, because I was like that kid that was like, this is a girl show.
No, she was smoldering at the time. Anyway, he's turning 50, David DeLuise.
Okay. All right.
Last up, Vinny Guadagnino. Okay? Vinny.
What's with you? Why do you got to be like excessively Italian?
Because I am Italian.
No, but excessively.
I'm pronouncing his name properly.
Yeah?
You want me to pronounce it like a Canadian?
No, say it again.
His name is Vinny Guadagnino. Okay?
Well, don't be condescending.
His name is Vinny Guadagnino. Okay. Is that better?
I can work with that. That sounds like you're actually not
He's
trying.
Turning 34.
Okay.
You're not going to know him by the name.
No,
he
idea.
Is Vinny from the Jersey Shore.
Oh, yeah, I could care less about
he's
him.
He's a stripper now.
What? Not even surprised.
Yeah, he's a stripper now.
I feel like everyone from that show just moved on.
Which
to
is
have
funny
because
he was like always kind of like the smart, grounded, down to earth, not in fucking trouble one.
Was he the shaved head one?
Vinny, yeah.
Or was he the one with the slick back hair? Go, Cab's a hit!
No, he was the
oh,
shaved
was Pauly
head
D.
one.
D.
Yeah,
was
he was
D.
the shaved head one.
Right, yeah, I guess he was the more
always mellow,
one.
Never really in drama. He was always just kind of doing his.
Who is the other one who always wore the black wife beater? With like short hair.
Situation? Or the humongously ripped
short,
monkey one?
Short, stocky guy.
Short, stocky guy?
Yeah,
that's
like,
Ronnie.
And then Situation, what did he look like?
Mike the Situation looked exactly how you could picture him looking. He looked like a douche.
I can't picture it.
He looked like a huge douche.
Google this. I never really watched the show. I like watched.
It's kind of sad, actually, when you look about their stories and everything like that. Throughout that entire show, like a lot of them were serious addicts.
I'm trying to find a picture of him when he was in Jersey Shore because he looks not good now.
Basically the same. He looked the same, just younger.
Oh, I definitely don't recognize him. Okay, we get it, bro. What? Anyone that watched this show, I can never fucking understand it.
I watched it.
I never understand people who are fascinated by that kind of stuff.
It's funny to watch stupid. Me and the girlfriend call it all hot garbage.
Oh, it's like my brother really likes that Big Brother show. I can't stand it. I think it's the worst show on the planet.
Big Brother's all right.
It's terrible.
It's fine. It's just watching people argue.
It's just dumb.
It's like putting a bunch of animals in a cage that are hungry and watching what happens.
No, like that would be more entertaining.
I mean, I guess. But anyway, happy birthdays out to Leonardo DiCaprio, Demi Moore, Vinny Guadagnino, Stanley Tucci, and David DeLuise, and just birthday to Onision, you fucking sick bastard.
Yeah, that's fucked.
Yeah, he's a messed up bastard. Anyway, move on to some history.
All right.
Yeah? Let's do it. Starting off, November 11th, 1675.
Okay.
German mathematician. I'm going to say this so bad, but... Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz.
Okay. Okay. You try to throw an accent on that.
Yeah. Demonstrates integral calculus for the first time using, and you'll remember this for PTSD in high school, the y equals f at x function to calculate the area under a curve on a graph.
Area under a curve?
You don't remember y equals f at x?
F at x?
Y equals f and then in brackets x. You don't remember like basic calculus?
I never took calculus.
Oh, never. That's why you don't get it. But yeah, that's...
Dumb kids were told...
That's considered...
Dumb kids were told not to take calculus.
That's basic functions now. It's not even considered calculus.
Really?
You take that in advanced functions in
I've
grade 11.
I've never even heard of that until you told me just now.
Well, there you go.
So I'm dumb.
Yeah, a little bit. I did a shit ton of math. But yeah, so that was 1675, the first time integral calculus was used to calculate the area under a curve.
Hmm.
All right. Then 1918, World War I armistice signed by the Allies and Germany coming into effect and ending World War I hostilities, 11th hour, 11th day at the 11th month.
Yeah, we spent the first 40 minutes on that.
November 11th, 1918. And then last point that I have, 1992. So a little bit more modern.
Oh, you have a page to flip?
No, that was my war story.
Oh, okay, okay.
So the last day in history that I have written down here, 1992, so November 11th, 1992, the Church of England approved the ordination of female priests.
In 92?
92.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
That sounds about the right timeline.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Them. Good for them.
So there you go. Yeah, we got calculus, armistice, and female priests in history.
And Remembrance Day. And,
well, yeah, Remembrance Day, obviously. Well,
what did you say it was?
1918.
Oh, the thing.
The armistice, yeah.
That's like the word I can't remember.
Armistice.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to like make sure I read that right because I knew I'd fuck up the verbiage when I was reading off my phone. And you know, I still fucked up the way to pronounce it.
Anyway, and that concludes the news.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
What are we at here for time?
What are we at?
We're all right. We got a few minutes if you want, but we've done more.
We ran through most of our content. We got through what we actually wanted to get through.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think we should be all
right.
Where
did my screenshots go? I just want to make sure I didn't miss any points here. Nope. I got all the shit I needed to do. So I guess it's your closing remarks, but I will just say, right, it's your closing
remarks? Let's do some closing remarks.
My closing remarks.
You introed, so I'll do some closing remarks.
So before you do your closing remarks, I'll just say...
I was going to do a blurb on Remembrance Day.
Do you have something? You have a script? Do you have something
I don't have a script, but I do want to read one of the verses of Flanders Fields just for it.
Okay, I'll allow it.
It's good. You know what I mean?
Of course. I'm just saying I'll allow it, you know, because I'm the boss.
It's only three verses. Should I just read the whole thing?
The whole poem?
Yeah, it's not long. I know it's a lot longer, but this is what's
weird. Do you want to emphasize the verses? Oh, those are the three verses you want to read. All right,
I'll read these. So
you have the floor for a moment.
In honor of Remembrance Day, I'm going to be reading. So In Flanders Fields is a big poem by John McCrae that was written for Remembrance Day. Yes, that's a good call. Let me take the hat off here. So just bear with me for a second. You could skip it if you do please, but I am going to read it here. In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead short days ago, we've lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from failing hands we throw, the torch be yours to hold it high, if ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep. Through poppies grow in Flanders fields.
Was that the whole thing?
I don't think it's the whole thing. Because I do remember it being long, but those are the three that... maybe it was the whole thing.
Yeah,
it was. That was the whole thing, because there's a picture of the original writing.
It sounds like the whole thing. What was it you wanted to talk about, though?
I just wanted to say, like, again, I know you touched on it. You said it very well when we started the episode. I mean, this is a day to remember everything that we've got, everything that was fought so that we could be where we are today. So I think it's very important, regardless of your stance or whether you like the military or not. A lot of this stuff that we have and that we've had the privilege to experience and to go through is because of what's happened in the past and what people have fought for. So I think it's very important, whether you did the moment of silence with us, whether you're waiting to do it at 11 o'clock, like most of the nation will do.
Or if you've already done it and you're
listening
to this later.
Or if you already did and you've... Yeah, exactly. I think it's just very important. It doesn't take much. Usually it is only 1 minute. It's not hard to do. Take your hat off.
Really not.
Stand up.
There's no excuse to not do it.
Even if you can't stand up, if you're at work, turn the music off. Look away from the computer screen for a second. Just take a minute.
Just reflect on what you got.
Exactly. Reflect and just think about it. And... Yeah. Remember those who fought and those who have fallen, whether they be in your family, whether they be friends of yours, whether they be past relatives of friends of yours, or somebody that you know now that's serving. Regardless of there being any wars, there are still people that are deployed. There are still people that are currently fighting for a lot of the things that we are having and that we're privileged to be able to have and to do. So I think Remembrance Day is very important.
Yeah, you said a mouthful there. That definitely covers probably what I was going to say. The only thing I'll add to that is just remember that today is not a day for applause. So make sure when you go to a ceremony, you're not, you know, clapping. Every year I always hear the odd person who kind of forgets, and I'm not calling anyone out. I'm just saying, just keep that in mind. But do like Mike said, just remember. Just think about it. Be grateful. Show your gratitude. Show your empathy if you can. You know, if you know anyone who's served at all at any point in history, give them a thanks, shake their hand,
or share a drink with them.
I guess with COVID, maybe just give them a thanks.
That's it.
Because I'm not very pro on the bumping elbows thing personally, but yeah, you know, that be all. So thank you guys for joining us, and we'll do our social plug. Also, I found a stack of stickers at home.
So we have even more now.
So we have even more. I don't know where the stack is that you brought in. I forget.
You took
it
from me.
Oh, I got them all stored down there on the shelf. Yeah, we have like a plethora of them, and they gotta go. I know that everyone takes some when they come to the show, but if you want some, just hit us up. Like we
have too many.
Excuse me, and I'll mail them. So hit us up for that.
With that, where can they find your Instagram?
My Instagram is, what are all the burps? This isn't even carbonated, bro. Oh my God.
You can find him at Richard Harknett on Instagram, where in his link tree, you will find
everything,
the show, all of his own stuff, as well as we'll remind his Movember link.
Totally forgot about that. The whole episode.
Lays Average Bros. So that will be
Moe's.
Matt.
Lays Average Moe's.
Lays Average Moe's. So they got himself, his father, Remy, and Matt, who you've both seen on the show as well. His father, you've heard many of stories. They are all doing the Movember fundraising for everything, mental and physical health for men, all the stuff.
Break the stigma.
Break the stigma.
Our goal as a team, as Lays Average Moe's, our goal is
$4,000. $1,000 each.
$1,000 each we're hoping to bring in.
If you could donate 50 cents, if you could donate a penny, anything helps.
I mean, I don't know how the minimum, I don't know how the donation works because I haven't done it since last year, but if you can donate, would really appreciate it, and so would all men across the globe. If you can't donate, show me your mustache. I want to see it.
Yeah, send the DMs over to the Dick Van Mike.
I'll give you a rating. I'll rate it out of 10,
and we'll both rate it because I don't have the mustache right now. This is being recorded a little bit early, but I will be shaving and having just the mustache.
Yep,
it's going to be greasy because Italians are not very good at mustaches until we're 60 years old. So. It's going to be a
good... Or if you're a plumber.
That
who
just
like it, jumps and breaks bricks and
you,
stuff.
You could go to bed with a full Duck Dynasty beard and you wake up in the morning with just a mustache. I don't know what happens.
Usually happens to plumbers who wear like red suits with blue overalls.
Yeah, or green suits with blue overalls.
Or yellow suits with purple overalls.
Or purple suits with purple overalls.
Oh my God, we're fucking struggling.
It's all Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. If you are Mario, if you're a Super Mario and you're Italian,
you have a mustache. Or a Pringles man or Mr. Peanut.
Does Mr. Peanut have a mustache? Oh, I guess he does. Does he have a monocle?
Yes.
Here's a trick question. Does a Monopoly man have a monocle?
No.
Oh, you're aware.
I am aware.
You are woke as fuck.
I'm fucking woke. You think you can fool me with these Mandelas?
Okay.
Come on, boy.
All right. I'll let you have
it. You remember that old TV show we used to watch as kids with the family of bears that lived in a tree?
That's what I'm talking about.
What is it? What were they called?
Well, it depends who you are. If you're a real one, you know it's Berenstain.
Berenstain.
If you're a real one, you know it's Berenstain.
But it's Berenstain.
See, there was a glitch in the Matrix.
Oh, what is there? This is what all happened at Y2K, right?
So I'm saying. You know, actually, you know what? I'm going to go on a tangent real. You know, I know we're ending, but I got to tell you, this guy has this called, it's called the 2012 theory. And then, you know what? It's obviously bonkers. I'm not going to pretend that I'm, you know, I'm preaching it. But it's just really funny how well thought out this guy's little theory is. So the Mayan calendar ended in 2012, as we know. They made a movie about the world ending. So he says that like what happened in 2012 is that these scientists, and I want to say like Sweden or something, were experimenting with subatomic particles.
Okay.
Smash them together. And Stephen Hawking made a point to say, you really shouldn't do this. It's a bad idea. Unpredictable results may occur. I'm really summarizing this in a really short version. This is a pretty long fucking thing. But basically, what the theory is that when you are smashing these particles together, like the movie Ant-Man, you know, you're altering, you know,
the foundations of life.
Well, the whole
foundations
universe,
of anything.
the whole universe that we know. So what this guy's theory is, which is not credible, but it's not like shunned.
Because think about what a nuclear bomb is. That's what happens when you split an atom.
Yeah. So this guy's like theory isn't like shunned, but it's not like, you know, proven. But if you were to imagine like timelines, let's say like two perpendicular, or sorry, parallel, not perpendicular, parallel lines, right?
I'm doing a demonstration.
What may have happened is when these guys did that, it cut our timeline immediately. Everything that we knew and everything we've experienced ceased to exist. And we were just combined with another timeline.
Yeah.
And so that a combination of things that they did and that we did had merged together. Things like, you know,
Berenstain and Berenstein.
Yeah. Or like the other ones, the other events that people commonly get confused.
Was the show Sex in the City or Sex and the City?
I have literally no idea. I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Like literally don't care.
Because apparently it's Sex and the City. But a lot of people remember it as Sex in the City.
So these things that happen, they call them the Mandela effect because a lot of people don't realize when Mandela actually died.
Nelson Mandela. There's written documents of him passing away in prison in like the 60s.
Yeah. So like the whole idea is that these two universes had like basically merged into one, and it was just like a whole bunch of things that, you know, it was very similar, but there's these little differences.
Mm.
And it's like a glitch. Like it's like a
glitch in the matrix.
Like a coding error or something. Anyways.
You can find me at madalessandro20. I also have a link tree now.
We're doing this. Socials.
Please, if you have a moment.
He's got TikTok.
I got a TikTok now where I am posting covers.
Trying to get millions of followers.
Not even, man. I just
check out him singing songs.
I like playing music and I miss gigging. So this is the closest I can get at this point. I'm having a good time with it. I got one that got 1,200 plays. The next one got 700. The next one got 20. So I really don't give a shit about the views. I'm happy to provide it. Anybody that stumbles across, whether it be strangers, whether it be friends, I'm happy if you just jump in, throw me a like, throw me a follow, whatever
you
want.
You got to use the hashtag for you or for you page. Okay.
I use them both.
You're smart, man.
With Singers
or
of TikTok.
FYP.
Yep.
I think Singers of TikTok is probably going to be overused, but.
Definitely, but who knows? Maybe people just go scrolling through it.
Anyways, you can find the show on... Did you already do that one? Did I miss it? Did I fuck up? Find the show on Facebook and Instagram at The Dick Van Mike Show. And you can find us on Twitter do anything. And it's just at Dick Van Mike.
And with that,
have a good Remembrance Day. And, you know...
Honor your flag. Honor your fallen soldiers. Honor your currently alive soldiers.
Wear a poppy. Be patriotic.
Those me and Dick both things. Have our poppies.
Dick
and I.
Okay.
Whether you can see them or not, we are both sporting our poppies.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, and I'll congratulate you on the one that remembered that because we are doing this very early, and I totally didn't have one on me at the time when we
set
this up.
It's all good, buddy. I got you.
We had some good friends help us out and bring us one last minute emergency.
There we go.
So, yeah. Y'all have a good evening or night or day or afternoon.
Don't forget or morning. To reflect today.
And just give yourself a moment. Don't forget to hit all the follow, subscribe buttons that you are available on the streaming service that you're currently listening to and set up them auto downloads if it's an option on the streaming service you are listening to. And that's about all I got.
Have a fantastic Thursday and have a very blessed Remembrance
Thrilling
Day.
Thrilling Thursday.
And have a very empathetic and blessing Remembrance Day to everybody, including service members that are potentially listening.
Yeah.
Have a great day, everybody.
Cheers.
Peace.